And since I could speak French, when they were going to bombard a village, they always used to move the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in just near Nancy there, they had this barracks, military barracks, but they couldn't put military in it because the Germans could fly over the embankment, so it was just idle, vacant,
mm-hmm.
all these big buildings. But when these refugees came, there was no other place to put them except in these dwellings. They asked me in Paris, I had only been there 3 days in Paris, they asked me if I would go, and I said, I'll go any place you told me to. I didn't come here on a side trip. So we went down there, and I was giving a little fellow about 8 years old, he had had emergency surgery, and I was giving him a bath. And we only had a tin tub, you know, on a bench behind, and a potbelly stove, that was, mm-hmm. and the windows were broken, some of them, not all of them. Primitive, really, but he had been for the soldiers and not for the civilians. So, and I always put myself in front so that if the door opened, that the cold air would not blow on the patient, you know. And he was such a nice little kid. And somebody opened the door, and the door didn't close, and I said, please close that door, can't you see the future of France may catch pneumonia? You know, I didn't know who it was. So they closed the door, and I put a little bed and told them, you know, stories, whatever it is you do to a kid 8 years old when he has to have surgery. And pretty soon, the little fire lit up like that, and he said, oh, please don't take Mademoiselle away, that was me. And I looked up and he said, you stay down. Is the future of France safe? That was Marshal Petain standing. He was the one I told to shut the door.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. My gosh.
I got my mess like that once too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then we had a little French fellow. I said, I dealt an upload with the French, with the civilians. And they were, it was not as glamorous, but to see these people and the joy they have, and they tell you, oh, mademoiselle, if you're there, I'll let my kid come with you. You know, that's worth more than anything else that you can do. But this little fellow, he was about 6, cute as he make, I mean, oh, his name was Marcel, of course. And whether I should tell this or the other one, or this one is shorter. And maybe I have a chance to tell the other one too, because I look at the picture of him a couple of days. That I wouldn't let Morris take that picture, and I want to keep that picture myself. But there was this little fella, and he was about 6 or 7 years old, real little, you know, and one thing and another. And they always had a cold. And I said, his uncle was in the Moroccan army with the red breeches and the red kepi, and he had sent his little Marcel little suit. And he was came and showed me his suit. And I said, oh, he said, I have to take a picture of that for sure. The next time I'll have my camera. Well, I forgot my camera. And the next day, it rained, and there's no use taking a picture with the camera that when it's dark, you know. So the third party had the camera, and he looked at me and he said, oh, mademoiselle, it's a good thing, he said, because I cannot wear this costume anymore because I'm in mourning.
Oh, I hope that got
him.
That's cute.
That's why I said, you had all these kids for, the same thing told me one time, and I said, oh, my son, and I said, but you cannot drink all that cough medicine I give you, which I would steal sometimes. And I said, because you know that isn't good for you. He said, mademoiselle, my mother told you not to tell you that she put the syrup in her coffee.
Oh, for sugar.
I said, no, I won't tell your mother. Well, he had no sugar, you know, so,
why, sure.
So sweetened her coffee with cough medicine.
He wasn't so dumb.
No, he wasn't so dumb. No.
That isn't the one you told out at Lee's that day.
No, that day, that was when I was stationed in that same hospital, And there was a little French girl working in there. He came and went and came, you know. I can't tell about that story. I often say, but she said, do you want to go and buy a locket for her niece whose birthday it was? And she said, can you go with you? And I said, yeah, I have a couple hours. Come on, let's run down. We had to go down the bridge and the hill. And there was this little town, the streets so narrow that you could, you know, winding like this. And we weren't in a hurry. We didn't know how late in the evening it was. And we walked in that store. And when we came out of the store, it was as pitch, as black as could be. You couldn't see your fingers. And we didn't know which way we had to turn to the left, to the light. So please, and they said, let's wait a little bit. We get used to, but you couldn't, if you put your fingers like that, you couldn't see there wasn't a star in the sky. So pretty soon, a dull flashlight came across the street on the curb. And I said, hey, did Mon Palais, can you tell us which way we have to turn to go to the bridge? He threw the light in our faces and we had, and he said, you just, and I said, please help us with, you know, we cannot see a thing, it's so dark. And they said, somebody said, you just wait a minute, we'll send the car over. And I said, oh, sure. And I said, let the general walk and we ride. Yes, no, just tell us to get up to the bridge. Pretty soon there came this car with the little chauffeur got out, a nice, neat little French soldier, you know. And he said, mademoiselle, get in. And I said, oh, I said, if you don't get in, he said, I got in trouble with Marshal Pétain. That's an order. I said to the girl with me, come on, let's go. You can imagine when we got to the hospital in Marshal Pétain's car. Yeah. We had an awful lot of explaining to do.
I'll bet she did.
I think that was what she told.
Yeah. Oh, I can never forget that because that was too funny. Oh, I always run into them. One time I run in, then from there when the people were evacuated to their own, then we had to go someplace else, you know. So then they had the flu bad. You know, I worked in that hospital 3 days. And the doctor said, where did you come from? I've been there 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And we had an Italian fellow up there, and he must have been left desperately in love with Marie in Italy. He wasn't a soldier. They brought in, when Italy got out of the war, they brought his men over to repair the roads because they were bombed and shelled in the big trucks, and they were just nothing but potholes, that was all they were. And he had the flu and he had it badly, but the first day, he got out of bed twice. And to pick up a person that heavy, you know, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. The second day he was there, he gave me a roll of money as big as my arm with a rubber band on. And he said, you, Marie. In other words, if he died, I was to send it to Marie. Oh. And the address was on there. I said, I'll give it to the doctor. He said, no, you. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I put that in my pocket and walked around it with it for 2 days. He climbed out of bed constantly. I tore up a sheet, which we couldn't spare, and to tie him up, and he got out of that, and he was on the floor again, and I was trying to pick him up, and somebody hollered in the back of me, where's the doctor? I said, I don't know, he's around someplace, or I don't know where he is. And I said, but if you're a gentleman at all, I said, come and help me put this man back in bed. So somebody came and helped me pick up the bed, and when I looked up, there were the ones with his red, from the Moroccan arm, and his red pantaloon, and his red hat on. By that time the doctor got there. Up my knees was scolding me. And there was Marshal Pétain with four of his help. And he said to the doctor, I said, never mind, mademoiselle, if we had a few like her, we would have fewer casualties in the hospital. And of course the doctor didn't like me because he was no good at all. Oh. Absolutely no good. I hated that man. And that he was mad, because then he didn't want me anymore there, because, you see,
you were getting all the glory and he wasn't.
That's right.
Used to that.
And, of course, then the flu died down and didn't need it anymore, because then he closed the hospital up again. And that was, you see, it was never a dull moment.
No. I'll say not.
No, and I liked it. I really did like, because when I worked in a hospital, that was, it had to be done. But by that time the American army was there, they were so organized. The hospitals were around property. They had food. Everything was like in a regular hospital, regular. My work was never, you never know when you work from 5 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock the next evening, you know. But these people appreciated that. Well, not all of them, but they appreciated me.
Yeah.
And you know, that gave me great satisfaction.
Oh, I'll say.
I had the same kind of experience in this other war, the last one.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was my life for 4 years. And what about the wars? Oh, is that being recorded?
Oh, that's
yeah,
it.
So we got four stories, so Helen can pick either one of them.
I pick them all.
Well, good
then,
idea.
Yeah, then you have choose. A whole magazine full.
then
well,
you're
going to have to help. No, that's what I'll send it to the editor of this book. And she will take what she wants to put in the history.
Yeah, okay. So,
oh, wait a minute. There was something.
But now my name when I was in the service was Van Dyck. D-Y-C-A-K. D-Y-C-K. Not to her, that was my wedding name.
And Victoria was your first
yeah.
name?
Yeah. Well, it was Victorine, yes, but we made it Victoria up here.
I think they want that too.
Maiden name, yeah.